In that prayer of Ephesians 3, I'll just read the verse prior to that. When he says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, and then is what you mentioned further. But that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That one who loves me, that one who gave himself for me, by faith to recognize he's dwelling in my heart. And that's the love of God is poured, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto you. Sin is the opposite of it. In the Garden of Eden, when man followed the voice of Satan rather than God, there was an enmity there. And it was the first sign of man leaving. He left, was sent out of the garden, but he had left that relationship in which he was placed. And so there was that enmity there. And that's in our hearts naturally. But I think here is really, again, we have faith in connection with that. By faith to recognize Christ dwells in my heart. And if I am conscious of that, it's a matter of not that at one time I believed this as a truth, and so it's true from now on. No, this is his prayer that it might be an active, living reality in my life that by faith I recognize Christ dwells in my heart. He fills the heart. If he fills the heart, there isn't room for the many other things. And then that what's in the heart is what flows out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then that will come out, which is for his glory, and which will for the upbuilding of the saints. Just one thought, if there's we have a moment yet? Okay. That we spoke about careful watching for evil and so on. And on the other hand, love. Now, where do we find, I ask that question first, where do we find the right pattern or proportion? Where do these things, where can both go on and we not lose track? Now, we know that even occupation with sin is defiling. And we only need to be occupied, even sin in my life is defiling. And robs me of my fellowship with the Lord. Well, it's often been said that we only need to be occupied with ourselves long enough to judge the wrong that's been there, that has come up. Then beyond that, don't get occupied with myself. Don't now try and go home and say, well, I'm going to really cultivate this love in my heart and so on. By looking within, we'll never get it. We need to judge when there's evil around. We have to remember the man that had to take the sin offering out of the camp. Before he came back in the camp, he had to wash his clothes with water and come back into the camp. So this is a vital thing. If we have to deal with a situation, it's necessary. But do we do it recognizing? Do we glory in it? Hey, did you hear? Did you hear what happened? Do you know this? And then you see the defiling character that has in the soul. And in much the saints of God. So am I, as one who is taking the place or been given a place by God to take a leading role to help the saints of God on. Am I demonstrating that character? Very discerning and zealous, as it were, as we've said, to check evil when it's there or what is wrong and deal with it, but at the same time not occupy anyone else with it, but rather occupy the saints with that which is good. Romans, the last verse, he says that to depart from it, be occupied, he says, with that which is good, always. Build on that.
I was just wondering if I can make something practical to connect first love and first works. There are these two first, and I trust that we can make a connection where we can all understand it, brother. Sometimes I make things difficult, so simplify it for me.
If I understand it.
Yes. I'll try English. Okay.
We'll ask the back row after you're done.
I just want to suggest that it's interesting that Ephesians, if you read every chapter of it, although it is separated by men, but just to take it the way it is, in every chapter there is the word love. Every chapter. And that love that is presented to us is mostly from God's side. Although we have the practical side of it, husbands love your wife, but the standard as Christ's love. Chapter 1, what God is going to do in that blessing, that we're going to be before Him in love. Chapter 2, you think, for example, God who is rich in mercy with the great love, you know. Chapter 4, it's very interesting that there is a head that has been ascended on high. And the reason that He gave gifts, that we might be edifying one another in love. But He's always bringing us to the source. So the brethren have put it right on the money that the first love is always in relationship to the love of God and the love of Christ. That aspect of thing, what love has done and what love has provided for us in order for us to enjoy that which is positionally, we lost interest in. You know what? We lost the interest. We lost the love. I want to compare that saying, Emil, not with the same word, but expression that is similar in Jude, keep yourself in the love of God. Not that I'm holding and it is my responsibility, but for you and I to be in the good of what love has provided and done for you and for me. So how do I leave it? I forget the person that we have discussed and encouraged with, the Lord Jesus, and all what love has done. We lose sight of it. But there is the first works, and I think there's something that sometimes we lose sight of that verse. So when I have the right person, that's His person, love of a person, with His good works, I would like to suggest this. It is a very interesting way that the scripture says it, because works normally is connected with doing. They say they shall see your good works and glorify your Father. It's always connected with the doings. But in Ephesians, that these works are what prepared for you, that you should walk in them. You see, the brother, the problem amongst the saints, this is why he said, do the first works. Well, we said earlier, they had works. So why he's encouraging them to do the first works? It seems to me, and I stand to be corrected, that whatever works they were doing up there, again, was missing something. That's why he's encouraging them to go back and do the first works. Brethren, it will be a great failure if we connect works, as far as Ephesus is concerned, with doing rather than a way of living. Let me repeat that. It's a great danger. It's a sad situation when I connect works with the matter of doing something rather than a way of living. Because Christianity is not doing certain things here and there. Christianity is a way of living. And that way of living in Ephesus is characterized, is labeled as under these first works. They were doing works. It's like people say, well, I go to the assembly on Lord's Day morning. Well, you are in the assembly 24/7. So it's a way of living. It's not a matter I go. It's a way of living. So brethren, how wonderful to have the first, the person of Christ, because that is who is the center of the first love. But also to understand Christianity is a way of living. These aspects of good works come along with it. But you and I is a way of living to be a Christian. Not I behave as a Christian whenever I'm with Christians. God forbid. It's a way of living.
To underline that, he's not saying, and you do your first works.
Oh, no.
It's the first works. In verse 2, it's your works. But here, it's the. It's not go back and do what you were doing before. It's the first work, which...
Ephesians 2, verse 10.